somebody else. But I'm grateful.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I am truly grateful.
Yes, Lord.
I'm grateful that God saved me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
A sinner. A wretch. As the old folk used to say, undone. Wasn't ready for heaven. But, oh yeah. But God. But God. By his grace and his mercy. Rest down and pick me up. Got Herb and got Pete and Donnie and Zeus and some of the, I just want to talk about the men. But some of us, we know if it had not been for the Lord. We don't know where we would be. Just echo with me one time. Lord, I'm grateful.
I'll
say it like you mean it. Lord, I'm grateful.
Lord, I'm grateful.
Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we ought to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Let's get him a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord. Our Gethsemane week was good. Amen. But it's always good to be back touching and agreeing with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. And for those that were traveling, it's so good that God brought them back safely. Amen. And we are here together again to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10. And I'm going to read one verse in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the message for today. And pray that God will speak to you as we share from this thought today, the touch of God. 1 Samuel 10:26. And Saul also went home to Geba, and the valiant men with him, whose hearts God had touched. Pray with me. Father God, we come today in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory and thanks, oh God, for allowing us to be here in the house of worship this morning. And Lord, how you have blessed us, how you have already moved, Lord, just in the songs of worship today. We thank you and we give you glory, oh God. I ask, Father God, that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, that you may be heard today. And I pray, Father, that your word will reach the hearts of your people, find a home there, and in it, O Lord, that they will obey and give you glory as they live from day to day. If there be any, Lord, who needs salvation today, call them out of darkness into the marvelous light. And if there be any who are saved, O Lord, but need a church family with which to worship and glorify you, bring them forward to be a part of this Christian charity family. And we, O God, will rejoice with the angels in heaven and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Amen. Praise God. The touch of God. There was a very popular TV series that was titled Touched by an Angel. And some of you may remember it, and I don't think you'll date yourself, because now you can pull up almost anything on YouTube and some of the other TV or media devices, I'll put it like that. And the episodes, the series revolved around angels assisting people who were in need or in trouble and needed to make critical decisions. And there were two primary angels. There was Monica and there was Tess. And Monica was played by Wilma Downey, and Tess was played by, what's the singer's name? Della Reese, amen. And then they even brought on after a while an angel of death called Henry. But as Monica one day was sharing that her progression in God's service as an angel, amen, she talked about how she started off in the angelic choir, and then how she was promoted to Annunciation, and she went from there to being a rescue angel, and ultimately she became an angel as part of both search and rescue, if you will. And they would meet with people. Tess was kind of a sarcastic a boss of angels, but the key is that their primary work was to touch and affect the lives of men and women, sometimes as individuals and sometimes as groups, amen, bringing them information or news that would help them in their decision making and their lives as they live from day to day. They would give them guidance to help them move in the direction that God would have them move. And it was a great show. It was one that I enjoyed, and certainly in the context, it had a very positive message. But we know today that we need not to be touched by an angel, but we need to be touched by God. Amen. We need God to touch us. And see, there's some amazing things that happen in the life of an individual who God touches. Amen. When God touches somebody, there's some radical things that happen that alter the life of that individual. The person who God touches is never the same. Now, when Jacob was coming back from fleeing from his life from his brother Esau, and he made a bed out in the desert and put his head on a rock and went to sleep. And there the Bible says that he wrestled with God all night long. But when the sun was about to come up, the Lord touched him and changed his name. And from that day on, he had a limp. Now, that's the downside of a touch. I want to talk about the upside of when God touches us. Amen? It's not bad that God changed his name, but he kind of gave him a little bit of a defective walk. So let's look and see what happens when God touches the life of an individual. And I'm going to preach this today from using the word touch as an acronym. So let's start off with T, and let's see what happens in the life of a person. The first thing that happens when God touches an individual is that they are transformed. Amen. They are changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. And first of all, the touch of God brings forgiveness of sin. It brings forgiveness of sin to all of those who believe and repent. And repentance doesn't just mean simply saying, I'm sorry. but it is asking for forgiveness and turning away from whatever that sin is. Amen. And that is what really defines repentance. And then it brings on cleansing and power to those who yield themselves totally to the will of Almighty God. See, when God calls us, he doesn't leave us dirty. Amen. We talked about that a little bit last week. God cleanses us and makes our hearts ready that we might be receive the word of God. And then that transforming touch of God makes everything new. We receive a new life in Christ. We receive new desires and new aspirations. We have new goals and new purposes. Amen. We have a new home in heaven. Amen. And then we have a new body that is waiting to be given to us at the return of Jesus Christ. So things become new. All things pass away. You can't come to Jesus Christ and just stay like you are. So we are transformed by the touch of Almighty God when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. And then not only are we transformed, we are ordained. God ordains every believer. Now let me tell you what he ordains you for. In John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, ordain in the context means to appoint, to assign, or is even kind of like commissioning an officer in the military. Dunlap's just came back from their granddaughter's graduation and commissioning. She finished all of her training. She got her degree. She's now a lieutenant in the United States Air Force. And as part of that graduation, she was commissioned to go and finish her pilot's training and continue to do the work that Uncle Sam has what? Assigned or commissioned or appointed her to do. Amen. So when God calls us, he didn't call us to sit on the seat of satisfaction. God called us to go to work in his vineyard. He commissioned us to go out and to do his holy and divine will. We got work to do as the children of God. And see, many people fail because they don't work for God. They don't embrace the passage that says that we are co-laborers together with God. Amen. They sit back and they think that only pastors and ministers and deacons are called to do the work of evangelism. But I come to serve notice this morning. When you read Matthew 28:19-20, it was written to the whole church. It wasn't just written to pastors and deacons. Amen. The touch of God ordains Christians to God's service. Amen. Everyone can go out and share the good news of the gospel. Everybody can tell somebody else how the presence of Jesus Christ in your life has made a difference. Everybody can offer somebody just a smile or a kind word. Everybody can lend a hand to make a difference in somebody else's life, if you will. So we have all been ordained. We've all been commissioned. We've all been appointed and assigned by God to go and work for him. Then the touch of God unifies the believer and the family. And in John 17:20-21, in Jesus' high priestly prayer for his disciples and for the church, it says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. And that's where we come in. We ought to be telling somebody else that they might believe on Jesus Christ through the word that we share, that they also may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. See, many churches fail because the members just don't work together. Amen. Y'all come on now. Amen. Many families fall apart because husbands and wives don't work together. Amen. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, in the church and in the family, people have divided interests. And one is pulling this way, and the other is pulling that way. And therefore, it's hard for them to accomplish very much because they're not all moving in the same direction. But see, the word of God says in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." And I believe that passage is new to gender. So, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for sisters to dwell together in unity. Unity brings power for us to accomplish the will of Almighty God. See, when we are touched by God, it brings harmony. It brings unity into the family. It brings love as well as cohesiveness. It enables us to accomplish the will of God because we work together to maintain the spirit of unity in the body of Christ. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love." See, love covers a multitude of faults. And so therefore, because we love one another in the church and because we love one another in our homes, it makes it easier for us to deal with our differences. Amen? But the scripture goes on to say, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that word endeavoring tells me that it requires what? Work. Amen. In order to maintain unity, it takes work in order to maintain peace in both the church and in the home. But the touch of God is the power, it is the glue, it is the catalyst that brings us together to do the will of Almighty God. And then not only does it unify us, it makes us conquerors in Jesus Christ. And that is Romans 8:35b through 37. It says, "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sakes, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." See, many Christians give up too quick. Amen. They stop too easily. They throw in the towel way too soon. Amen. Sometimes just because they don't get their way. Now, let me serve notice this morning. Having your way is not grounds for leaving the church or for divorce. Oh, yeah, let me say it again. I know y'all don't want to hear that. But, you know, because somebody might be divorced because they didn't get their way. Somebody might be church hopping because they didn't get their way. But having your way is not grounds, amen, for leaving the church or leaving your spouse. Amen. We need to understand that the touch of God gives us courage to be conquerors. Christ furnishes, amen, the strength that enables us, amen, to keep on keeping on, if you will. And see, I know he does it because Philippians 4:13 tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you need strength to keep on keeping on, look to Jesus Christ, experience the touch of God, and you'll be able to just keep moving in the direction that God would have you go. And then finally, I'm at the H now, I'm getting ready to close, and the touch of God brings healing to those who have faith in God. In Matthew 8:3, it says, "Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed." This leper approached Jesus and wanted to be healed. And we know leprosy was a disease that had absolutely no cure. But this individual believed that Jesus Christ had power, amen, to effect his healing. And he asked him, "If you know, Lord, if you will you heal me?" And Jesus said to him, "I am willing," touched him, and his leprosy was completely gone. See, the leper had faith to believe, and faith will cause God to touch the needs that are present in our lives and affect healing that can otherwise never be accomplished. Faith, we need faith. Because the scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't care what else you got. I don't care what else you do. But if you don't have faith in God, it is all for naught. It doesn't mean anything unless you have faith. Oh, but the touch of God will bring mental healing. It'll bring spiritual healing. It'll bring relational healing. It'll bring, amen, it will bring even physical healing. See, we receive God's touch through his word. We receive his touch through prayer. We receive his touch through worship. We receive God's touch by believing his word. We receive his touch by accepting his word. And then we receive God's touch because we obey his word. So it is one of those that when you look at it, there is power available to us to be healed of whatever malady we may have through the touch of Almighty God. As Jesus was departing, there were two blind men who approached him in Matthew chapter 29. And as they were leaving, they were crying, "Lord, have mercy on us." And when he had come in to the house, the blind men just followed him right on in, amen. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And my Bible said that he said to him, "Yes, Lord." And when we are asking God for some things, and he might say to us, "Do you really believe?" And we better reply, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Amen. And when he did that, the Bible says that he touched their eyes and said to them, "According to your faith, be it unto you." So our faith is a major part of our receiving healing from Almighty God. So we can be healed if we seek and receive the touch of Almighty God. Now, Jesus opened the blind men's eyes. He healed the lepers. He made the lame to walk. And the touch of God brings mighty power to the life of the child of God. That same Jesus, late one Friday evening, ascended upon Mount Calvary with a cross and was nailed to it, and there he was raised up between two thieves, and he died out on Mount Calvary that Friday evening, and they took him down and laid him in a borrowed tomb. And he lay there all night Friday night, and he lay there all night Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Yeah, I heard him when he said, "Oh, death, give me your sting. Oh, grave, give me your victory. I've got all power, and now I can change and affect the lives of the children of God throughout all eternity." Got on a cloud, went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty. And I want you to know that the touch of God can transform our lives. It ordains us, amen. It unifies us. It causes us to be conquerors and brings healing into our lives as the children of God. But what I'm really reminded of, we went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty. I'm reminded of my plight. I'm reminded of my condition. See, it was an old song that the saints used to sing. And it was titled, "He Touched Me." Yeah, and it went something like this. "I shackled by a heavy burden." Yeah, "neath a load of guilt and shame." And I want you to know that sin is a heavy burden to carry. But I was under it, and I was ashamed of my condition, but the song goes on to say, and my testimony is, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. And it says, "Oh, he touched me. Yes, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul." Oh, y'all don't hear me? Yes, I am a child of God, but since I met the blessed Savior, I am no longer the same. He touched me. God touched me. And oh, oh, the joy that floods my soul. I got joy in the morning. I got joy in the evening. I got joy all night long. And it's only because he touched me. I don't know what your day was like, but ever since the Lord touched me, I've been trying to get a little closer to him. I've been trying to be more like him. And those who knew me then, Donnie, they know I'm not who I used to be. Praise the Lord. And if God has touched you today, you're not who you used to be. Amen. Amen. So I don't talk about the sisters, but I know how Brother Lindsay was. I know how Brother Terry was. Amen. It is through the power and the touch of God that we are not the old people we used to be. I know who Nick was. Now I see him in church every Sunday. So praise the Lord for changing us. I want to take time to extend the privilege of the church right now. I want to ask you to stand with me.